You want to make your fantasy sports league more than a fantasy? Then you need Trophy Smack.
It's the number one store for fantasy and tournament trophies, belts, draft boards, loser awards, and other ridiculous products.
Trophy Smack is more than just a trophy company with outstanding customer service and products. It's the very essence and heart of every fantasy league. And if you click now, TrophySmack.com gives you free shipping, a free loser poster, and can have the hardware to you in a few days, bragging rights included. Go to TrophySmack.com right now and take your fantasy league to the next level.
What's up, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour with your hosts, Doug Eddy, Tim Keller, and Tyler Gunther. Bring us all inside the huddle. Whether it's in-season or off-season, this is your spot for the best and in-depth Dynasty fantasy football advice. So let's not waste any more time and get right to it with Doug, Tim, and Tyler with another Dynasty Happy Hour.
Hey, welcome in to Dynasty Happy Hour. If you're checking us up on Facebook, YouTube, Periscope, thank you for viewing our beautiful faces. If you're tuning into the podcast, thank you. I hope you enjoy this on a either a very early Sunday, well, Monday morning, or a very late Sunday night. It's week five. We are over a quarter of the way through the season, so we're going to talk a little bit of redrafting the 2020 rookie draft tonight. It's a really fun exercise to do. We've got a quarter of the season's data in front of us, and I think it's going to be really interesting because this rookie class is a pretty dang good one. So I'm your host, Doug Eddy. I'm here this week with both Tim and Tyler. Tim, you have a beautiful American flag behind you. How the hell are you fine, sir?
I'm doing all right. We were discussing some post-sports injuries or prior sports injuries. Thank God none of them had to do with us.
Yeah, they were other people. Don't worry.
Yeah. But obviously, I think the big takeaway from week five is if you're watching that Cowboys game, bit of a rough break. Sad. That's a terrible phrase to use here. But bit of a
hey, don't say yikes. That.
Bit of a rough go for Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. But I'll give them credit here. They did a smart thing and went and got a serviceable Andy Dalton now.
Serviceable. I mean, you mean the red rifle? I mean,
the red
let's
rifle,
be honest.
Andy Dalton shooting down there in Texas. Pow, 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 pow. You know, it's
I mean,
be a
that
lot of
Michael
fun.
Gallup catch was all Andy Dalton.
Yeah. It was
absolutely.
All Andy Dalton.
Absolutely.
But yeah, it was not 9% of Dynasty owners currently are without a quarterback.
Yeah, it was, you know, I felt really bad for Dak just as a person for everything that he's been through so far this year, you know, dealing with depression. His brother, you know, obviously taking his own life. And obviously, you know, I was texting with my wife. I wasn't home. And I was like, oh, like Dak got hurt pretty bad. She knows I have Dak on a bunch of teams. And I said, I felt really bad for him. And I said, he was crying. And she's like, well, he's probably in a lot of pain. I go, no, I don't even think he was crying because he was in a lot of pain. I think he was crying just because of everything that's gone on and him knowing that, like, my season is probably over. And when you take away, like, hey, this is your job and this is what you love and you're passionate about, and you realize that, like, you're not going to be able to do that, like, I think it just hit him like a ton of bricks. And I felt so bad seeing him sob on the cart. And I was just like, oh, man, I feel so bad for Dak. Because he's a really fun player to watch. He does everything right. He's a fun player to root for. You know, and yeah, I had him on some fantasy teams, but it's like, you know what? I lose Dak for the season. That's not even it. Like, just not to watch him play football is the sad thing. Like, I'll find another quarterback. No one's going to replace Dak, but, like, it's fantasy. This kind of stuff happens all the time. I just felt really bad for Dak as a person, especially, you know, going into his free agent year.
Yeah, that's the worst part.
And he was putting up numbers. I was excited.
Oh, for
the
sure.
Eagles fan Tim was excited to see how Dak finished out this season. What kind of numbers? Because he was on some crazy pace.
27,000 yards passing or so, give or take.
49. Yeah. 100 touchdowns.
Yep, you know, easily.
It was gonna be. He was on some really crazy paces. It really stinks for anybody that was a share owner of Dak Prescott. But like Doug said, you can go out and find somebody else on the waiver wire or whatever. But it does. It stinks to lose one of the good ones.
Yeah, and if you're a Twitter person and you're on Twitter and there's just some vile people out there, even like Tony Dungy on the NBC broadcast was like, oh, this is a blessing in disguise or whatever, because now they get back to the run. And I'm like, really? Are you kidding me? Like, that is just so insensitive. And I won't go on a tangent about Tony Dungy, But there's some things that has happened in his personal life. So you would think that with someone that had something similar that Dak Prescott has experienced in his family would be a little bit more sympathetic to like everything Dak is going through and not say something like that. So it was even more shocking that Dungy said something like that, because I feel like he would never say that about Peyton Manning or anybody else. And just for him, for that to be his analysis was just kind of disgusting. But I want to talk a little bit about fantasy going forward. So we all know that Andy Dalton is going to be the starting quarterback of your Dallas Cowboys now. Obviously set up for success from an offensive weapon standpoint.
Yes.
Do we view Andy Dalton going forward as like a solid QB2 in your super flex leagues? Yes. If you had Dak, are you trying to acquire Andy Dalton? Do we think that he's going to do a decent job here as the Cowboys starting quarterback? Because they do have issues along the offensive line. Tyron Smith, I think, is out for the year. Yep. Lyle Collins is out. Like, they've got a lot of issues along that line. So, I mean, I'm kind of like not as hot on Andy Dalton as it seems some people tend to be. But I think he does have enough weapons. But what do you think of this situation, Tyler, from a fantasy standpoint for all the, at least let's start with Andy Dalton. So what do you think about Andy Dalton going forward?
I think he'll be perfectly fine. He'll probably be 75, 80% of what Dak is. I mean, Dak was
I disagree with that.
I think I'm the wrong person to ask, because I actually like Andy Dalton. I have for years. I think he's a very capable quarterback. And the thing is he just had a rough go at it when he had some terrible offense and terrible coaching.
He got benched on his birthday.
But I think with Mike McCarthy, I think with the style Andy Dalton plays, I think he'll do perfectly fine. The weapons there will definitely hide the mistakes Dalton will make that Prescott did not make. So I do think that's not going to be an issue. Zeke is going to help. The offensive line, yes, it is decimated with injuries, but I do think they have some people in the back burners, like their rookie center from Wisconsin. I think he can be a guy that can come in and fill in for the offensive line. But yeah, it's a tough break. And like you said, I mean, you and I are in discussions. I'm looking to acquire Dak, because you're on a run. You're on a tear with this team in a league. And I'm kind of out of it for the year. So I can take the L for the year. People got to realize, yes, this is a traumatic injury, and it sucks. Dallas should have paid him, and he should have gave him this job security, which is awful of Dallas. Like, if you look at it in that aspect, Dallas, bad move on your end, because this dude should have the job security. He should have that ease of mind when he's going into surgery. So,
and you know here's the crappy thing about the Cowboys. If they're going to come to the negotiation table at the end of the year, and then they're going to want some sort of discount because he's injured now, which is gross.
Yes. Yeah.
I understand Dalton, it's a business, but it's gross.
Or if Dalton plays well, they're going to use that against him, like saying like, "Oh, we could just pay Dalton $14 million a year instead of paying you $40 million a year."
Yeah. It is the ugly side of the business that revolves around the game of football. Doug, in my opinion, the Andy Dalton thing, and I don't agree with the timing of Mr. Dungy's comments, but I agree with the thought behind Dungy's comments. Mm-hmm. I do think that now the Cowboys, at least for the next few weeks, will 100% focus on the run. Zeke's going to get a lot of action. Tony Pollard's been playing very well when given the opportunity.
Yeah.
So I believe both those guys are going to do well. Andy Dalton, Tyler said, 75, 80% of Dak?
Yeah.
I don't know if it's that much. Dak went, three straight games with over 450 yards, something like that?
Yeah, he did.
I could see Andy Dalton being the 350, 375 range just based off of the firepower that offense has.
And the crappy defense that they have, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to throw at times, but I think the scheme's going to change offensively. They're going to lean on those running backs. You kind of saw it there after Dak went out. I mean, Zeke, it might have been everybody's a little pumped up. We need to get this one for Dak. But Zeke seemed he had a little more steam pushing that engine down
my,
the field.
My issue with that is offensive line, not great. And defense is terrible. They're not going to be able to run the ball consistently. They're going to have to throw. So I do agree. I think Dalton is going to be one of those guys that is around a quarterback 13 to 15 weekly. And then he'll have those games where he's a quarterback 5 or four.
But he's also going to have those Dalton games where he throws two or three picks.
But I just think McCarthy's going to throw because I mean, if McCarthy can find a face mask that fits, maybe things will change. But other than that, I'm sorry. I couldn't sit there and watch the game and not laugh at McCarthy's face mask.
Every time they showed John Gruden today, he was wearing that, like, his wife's pair of panties for a face mask again this week. It was just like, every time they would show him in that game, I was just like, just get a real mask, like, or a neck gaiter or something.
I was
like,
gonna say, there's
stop
plenty
with this, like, weird
gears.
Bandana. I don't know. It was strange. I was just like, this is so ridiculous. But anyway.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that I agree with you. I think that the, you know, Zeke is obviously, you know, they had been passing so much because of the bad defense, but I think they will lean on Zeke, play a little bit more clock control than they had in the past. So we'll see what happens. You know, obviously the thoughts are with Dak, and hopefully he's going to be able to bounce back from this and continue his career. You know, one of the nice things about owning Dak was that he's never missed a start in his career. So that was one of the nice things, like, oh, Dak never gets hurt, and then he gets hurt. But we've seen this happen with guys like Drew Brees and Tom Brady and Big Ben. And, like, there's been noticeable quarterbacks that have missed a year of their career because of injuries. So this isn't uncommon. But, yeah, I think we should jump right into this redraft because...
First thing, I want to announce that...
iPapa freaks all the honeys?
I want to announce to everybody that... I don't know if you guys saw, but we have officially closed down the website. We made the decision because we want to focus on the podcast and the video side of things on the YouTube. I mean, the site is tough to get rid of. I want to thank all the writers that we had. Everybody did a great job. The rankers, the writers, we're keeping some people on for the video side. And of course, the other podcasts are coming on. The IDP, we're looking for a couple new hosts. So if you're interested, you know, hit us up on Twitter or email us, dynastyhappyhour@gmail.com. But other than that, I just want to thank everybody for the support for the website and all the writers, of course, all your hard work and everything, all the editors that we had. We had two of them. They did a great work. And yeah, it's sad to see it go, but we are going to move on with the podcast. And I think this will help us all kind of make the podcast even better than what it is, which, I mean, God, if we could get the podcast a little better, come on, guys.
we could add a little bit more oomph, if you will.
A little more oomph, yeah. And that's another thing. Our store is still on Viridian Global. You can get the Oomph t-shirt that just came out this week. We're going to be talking about some Oomph players in this rookie draft. And it's going to be interesting. Superflex rookie draft. I'm really excited about this because I want to see where players go. Like, who's going to be the huge riser that was kind of sitting back? Is Chase Claypool from this big game going to go in the early second? I don't know. Maybe.
You look like a stud. Tim. You got a random draft generator, so let us know where our picks are so I can jot these down.
DraftOrderGenerator.com. I typed our three names in, the team one, team two, team three. Mm-hmm. I left the rest of the eight teams available. Hit, you know, submit. And at the 101, we have Mr. Doug Eddy.
Oh, let's go.
I came in at four, so I'll be picking at 102. And at six was Tyler, so you'll have the 103.
Perfect. That's actually what I wanted. All day I was thinking, I want the 103.
Really?
Mm. I do.
He's gonna take Swift.
Okay. I mean, this is
Superflex.
At 103,
Tyler takes Swift. Come on. He's awesome.
There's one other player in this whole entire thing that I liked a lot.
Tua. Mm.
Tua Tagovailoa. All right, so let's get this thing kicked off. Now I got to decide what I want to do here at the 101. And because it is Superflex, I think I've seen enough of Joe Burrow to warrant him as the 101. I know he didn't play all that great today, but we've seen him definitely fit in the role of NFL quarterback, you know, averaging over 50 attempts over the first 4 weeks, really showing some flashes, and that's with getting nothing from the husk that is Ariel Jeremiah Green. You know, building a good rapport with Tyler Boyd And, you know, obviously they got Joe Mixon there. I think they're a team that could potentially be on the rise here in a couple of years. But I really like what I saw out of Joe Burrow. You know, he's got a little bit of mobility as well. So I'm going to go with the 101. As much as I want to say a different player, I won't. I will go with Joe Burrow because it is a super flex format. So, Tim, you got the 102.
You know, Burrow is the guy there at 101. And you mentioned today wasn't his best day. The guy I'm getting ready to take, also not his best day today, but I will take Chiefs number 25 running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, his first game as a rookie, 19.8 fantasy points in a PPR format. The kid hit the ground running. It's not too big of a stage for him. I think he's still learning. Any rookie at this point in their career is still learning, but especially these rookies without any sort of training camps. But he looks the part. He's in an offense with the best quarterback that I believe has ever been born, raised, and grown up on this planet. You know, there's tons of other offensive weapons there to ensure he's not the focal point of the defense at all times. And I think we'll see that the Chiefs, there's games where I don't think they're highlighting him, and I look forward to I look forward to the games where he's being highlighted, because I do think he is special. He was a lot of people's 101s to start this whole thing, you know, a few months back. So I'll be happy to take him here at 102.
I understand the pick. I have not been impressed with Clyde Edwards-Helaire thus far. Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to say you're impressed with the other rookie running back, then you've got to be disappointed with him as well.
Like, oh, yeah. I've been a little disappointed with him just based on some usage stuff, too. But the thing with Helaire is, like, I look at this offense and I just think to myself, like, how good Damian Williams was down the stretch. Now, if he didn't sit out the season, I think Damian Williams would be more successful than Clyde Edwards-Helaire at this point in time. Now, obviously, this is dynasty. We're talking long term. But I don't know. I just haven't. The first game, there was some flashes, but since then, it's just been like, I don't know. It just seems a little disappointing based on, you know, his 101 rookie pick and then going in the first round in redraft leagues. Like, he hasn't paid that off. And
I'm pretty happy, to be honest with you. Obviously,
it's his rookie year, but I just haven't seen, he doesn't feel like he can take over a game, and I haven't seen, like, a consistent level. And I know it's, you know, rookies are tough this year because of, you know, the training camps and all that jazz. And they've got some issues on that offensive line. You know, no Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. They lose Kalechi Osemele today. He tore both his tendons in his knees today. So they've got some issues along that offensive line, and maybe that's part of it, but I don't know. I haven't been super stoked or amped about Clyde Edwards-Helaire just yet. So I get the pick though. You want the guy that's going to be attached to the good quarterback for a long time. So
I mean, I'm Tyler. Actually opposite. I've been impressed with Edwards-Helaire. Like, there's runs. I get he's 5'7", but man, is he slippery.
You know what? I see number 25 in a Chiefs jersey, and I always think Jamal Charles.
What was that, like, week
that's
three?
Unfair.
He caught that well, swing I know pass. That. It was like week three. He caught that swing pass. He's there in the flat. Safety comes up to try to meet him and make the tackle, and he takes that little stutter step and just completely shakes the guy.
Mm-hmm.
There are plays where you're like, okay, he's got it.
Yeah. I think a lot of the rookie running backs have showed us something that gives us hope for the future. Yeah, but I'm going to be honest with you. My third pick, I'm going Justin Herbert.
I knew you'd do that.
Dude has shown me nothing but positive things. I loved him. I had him right next to Tua, right after Burrow. There was a point in rookie rankings for Superflex that I had the rankings go Burrow. Burrow's really never left 101. I think he's been locked in. Mm-hmm. It's been Burrow, Tua, and Herbert. All three.
I want to let you know, Tyler, I went back and looked at the last set of rookie rankings. I actually had Herbert the highest.
Yeah. I mean, I moved a lot of the rookie running backs up. But I'm going to be honest with you, I am getting sick and tired of running backs in fantasy football. I'm going to be honest with you. Rookies and running backs in fantasy football are annoying. And it just, yeah. Well, I'll probably get more into that next offseason. But I'm going to go with Herbert. I loved what I've seen. The dude lit up Tampa Bay's defense, which was supposed to be something special. And he looked like a veteran. I mean, the arm talent's there. He's doing it with undrafted rookie receivers. Last week, he threw two touchdowns against Tampa Bay. He threw two touchdowns undrafted rookie receivers. Mm-hmm. So imagine if he got some weapons in there as well, other than Keenan Allen. And hopefully Mike Williams can stay healthy sometime.
Hunter Henry's been consistent. He just hasn't scored any touchdowns.
That's true. But yeah, mm-hmm. I loved everything I've seen from Herbert. I get Tua could be more talented, but he could be. I've seen it from Herbert. I haven't seen it from Tua. So give me the 6'6", 240-pound gunslinger that has shown me everything I needed to see.
Yeah, I think that thought process makes a ton of sense. So I'm up at the 104, and this is I'm conflicted here. There's two players, and if this was at the beginning of the season before the games were played, it would be a slam dunk Jonathan Taylor pick mm-hmm. for me
oh, yeah.
at this spot. But now I'm like, ugh, I've seen this other player play, and he looks great. Receivers last longer
yep,
in Dynasty.
I know exactly, yeah.
So as much as it pains me not to take Jonathan Taylor here, I think I'm going to, you know, the proof is in the pudding. I like what I've seen out of Taylor, but man, CeeDee Lamb just looks too damn good. And
question,
I think he's,
first round, start up first round next year? At least early second.
Yeah, I would say 15 to 18 range.
I was going to say mid second, I think would probably be fair. But yeah, I mean, he looks the part. He's been making plays as a rookie coming in. He's, you know, he outshined Amari Cooper today. And he can do everything. So yeah, with the 104, I'm going to go against my gut and I'm going to be like, you know what, Jonathan Taylor, I love you.
Hey guys, breaking news.
Yeah.
Falcons fired Dan Quinn. It's starting.
Yay.
It's starting.
Oh, Turd Cutter, rebuild. New coach.
The rebuild starting.
Yeah, so I'm going to go CeeDee Lamb at the 104.
I love the pick. I actually thought about him where Herbert was just because, of, like you said, CeeDee Lamb's going to be a stud for the next, what, 8-9 years easily?
Yeah.
You know, barring injury, I mean, he's going to be a very good receiver. And yeah, love the pick.
Reminded me a lot of DeAndre Hopkins in the process. Maybe a more explosive version. And now that I see him on the field, it's like even like, yeah, I see it. There's a lot of Hopkins in his game.
I see a lot of Calvin Ridley. Like the size. Hopkins is a bigger
guy. I think it's a juiced up Calvin.
I think the size.
Calvin's
size-wise.
So slight.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the funny thing is the same exact size. CeeDee Lamb, 6'1", 6'2", a buck 98. Calvin Ridley's maybe a buck 90, but I mean, Hopkins thicker. So when I see that comparison, uh-huh. I'm not quite sure. I mean, CD needs to hit the weight room a little more, and he'll get there probably. Just not.
Yeah,
too
but I mean,
much.
He holds up to those big hits though. He took a couple of big ones today, and he snapped right up, and he was good to go. Yeah. So, all right, Tim, you got the 105 here.
Well, now I'm stuck in a conundrum here because I know my man crush. Receiver's definitely not going to be there next time I make a pick, but Jonathan Taylor for the Indianapolis Colts is running behind a fantastic offensive line. It's my personal belief that quarterback they have there is about cooked at this point.
Oh my God, that's bad.
But when I go back and watch Jonathan Taylor on Game Pass, this kid, he's going to be special. This kid is going to be special. There are moments in games where he, in my opinion, is seeing possibly the wrong thing, or he's not trusting what he's seeing, or he's just not willing to kind of make that cut, even though that's not how the play is designed. But the kid's special. The kid's athletic. He's big. He runs hard. He runs fast. I wish they'd throw it to him a little bit more, but I think that's just something throughout practices, throughout a camp next year, hopefully. He'll be able to prove to the team he has the ability to do those things. But I'm going to take Jonathan Taylor here with my second pick. Currently the third overall running back as far as rookies for fantasy points this year. So I like him a lot.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I like the pick.
I love that.
By the way, Delvin Cook just hurt his hamstring.
Oh, perfect. Life is going so well for me tonight.
All right.
Tyler's up at the 106.
All right. So this is making it a little harder for me. But
I have stars by two names for you here, Tyler. Which one are you making me cross out?
I am going to go with Doug's thinking. Wide receivers last longer. And I think the thing with me is, I like I said, just running backs in general really upset me. So I'm going to go Justin Jefferson from Minnesota. Everything he has shown is everything I thought he would be. He was my wide receiver 1A with Jerry Jeudy, who was 1B. They were neck and neck. I had CeeDee Lamb a little behind him, but I think Lamb has jumped both of them due to the offense they're in. But I love everything I've seen from Jefferson. People are saying, well, it's only two games. Well, he's only started these two games. BC Johnson was in weeks 1 and 2. And remember when I told you guys they just need to get him going? And look what the offense is doing once they actually have somebody next to Thielen. So Justin Jefferson has been a light for this offense that has really put some oomph into this offense. So give me Jefferson.
I like that take quite a bit. I thought you might go there. So that brings me up at the 107. And this is a super flex league. So I think there's a little bit of value here at 107. We haven't seen him play yet. But
Ryan Fitzpatrick, I mean, you're taking him?
Yes, I'm taking Fitzmagic. We haven't seen him play yet, but I think the potential, you see that the Dolphins, they do have some weapons in the passing game with Williams, Parker, Gesicki. Probably draft a running back in the offseason. I don't think Myles Gaskin is the answer.
I think
with a team that has a lot of draft capital, they have a lot of picks, they can really build around Tua Tagovailoa. I think at a 107 in a Superflex league, I would be really happy because quarterbacks are just so dang important in Superflex leagues.
Yep.
You can't really have enough of them, to be honest. I mean, I had Cam Newton, Jimmy Garoppolo, and Big Ben in the UDPL last week, and I couldn't start any of them. So
it was quite hilarious. I mean,
yeah, and I almost won, but anyway. So I'm going to go with Tua Tagovailoa here at the 107, just on the upside, the situation, the weapons that potentially can be around him, and the weapons that they can add because they're going to have free agency dollars. Miami's always an attractive location, especially if they play like they did today and they start to win some games. And they've got a ton of draft picks. They have Houston's first and second round pick, which could be top 10 picks at this point.
Draft Jamar Chase. Ooh. Yikes.
That would be hot.
Offense could be very good.
Yeah, so I'm going to go Tua at 107, especially in this Superflex format. Back to Tim at 108.
I was really hoping Tua made it to me at 8, but very good pick there. I mean,
thank you.
Yeah, in a Superflex league, to have a guy who was, despite the hip, still in contention as some people's quarterback 1 in the class, it's a great pick here at 7. So it's going to make my choice here at 8 pretty easy. I'm going to go with my wide receiver. My wide receiver 1 going into the season, Mr. Jerry Jeudy. Obviously, we're not going to see the Broncos play this week, but we've seen in the first 4 weeks of the season Jerry Jeudy be able to show athleticism, burst, speed, amazing route running. Great hands, the ability to go up and high point the ball, win the tough catches. The kid in 4 weeks already, before Cortland Sutton got hurt, had people questioning how long is it going to be until Jerry Jeudy is the alpha there in Denver. Obviously, there's quarterback issues now for the Broncos, so we got to, you know, kind of give him a bit of a mulligan, let's say. His numbers probably wouldn't be what they would have been if he got to play with a competent starting quarterback the entire season. But just what I'm seeing on film, what I'm seeing in the stat lines, despite the bad quarterback play, really has me excited for Jeudy's future. And I think he is, in my opinion, the biggest upside receiver still in the class. I think he has the highest ceiling of all the guys in the class still.
I love it.
Yeah, I like that pick as well. Big booty Jeudy at the 108. All right, Tyler.
This
you're
is
up
easy.
Next at the 109. Hit me.
DeAndre Swift.
DeAndre Swift. I mean, I thought about him over Justin Jefferson.
You thought about him over Herbert. What are you talking about?
That's kind of true. So
I thought about him over Burrow.
I posted a stat on Twitter this weekend saying, you know, Swift has scored no less than 10 PPR points every week but week 3 when he got one catch, which was one of those, like, he was in the doghouse for a game. But he's scored over 10 PPR points every single week. But then And he's doing it with tons of less touches than Jonathan Taylor. And Jonathan Taylor is only 16 PPR points ahead of him. So what I'm seeing is a guy that even gets a little tiny boost throughout the season is going to skyrocket up. And he's going to be more valuable. So if you have a chance to buy Swift, you should do it. They're on a bye week this week. Go out and buy DeAndre Swift. Everything I've seen is what I hoped he was. I wanted him in this Alvin Kamara-esque role because he's so dangerous in space, and I'm seeing him used that way. I mean, AP, as much as I am just annoyed with how he's in the way, it doesn't seem like he's going to go away because, I mean, he's just a cyborg. You can't defeat cyborgs unless you have Arnold Schwarzenegger, and then there's a chance. But he's a cyborg himself. I mean, Frank Gore, AP, they fight each other. What's going to happen? World's going to end.
Fight each other with their walkers with the tennis balls on the bottom.
So,
how could you, Frank
Gore? So, yeah, I love DeAndre Swift. I think he's somebody who's just going to... There's going to be a week where he is all of a sudden just like, oh, damn, there he is. Like, there's going to be a week where he's over 100 all-purpose yards and like two touchdowns, and he's going to show why he was so highly touted.
You know what? I sure as heck hope so, because that Detroit backfield is almost as messy as my player, which I want to take at the 110, and that's J.K. Dobbins. We've seen Dobbins flash. Obviously, week one, he comes out, he scores two touchdowns. Everyone's on fire about J.K. Dobbins. Like, oh, this is it. And then the next few weeks, he gets very little run. This week, he didn't get a lot of run. Mark Ingram led the Ravens in carries with 11 in a game that they were ahead of the whole time. So obviously this year it's very frustrating because you have Gus Edwards, you have Dobbins, you have Ingram. But I really like what I've seen from J.K. Dobbins. And the hope is, much like when you pair CEH with Patrick Mahomes, is that you want the running back that's going to be attached to the franchise quarterback in Lamar Jackson, who will probably end up signing a long-term deal and staying in Baltimore, I would assume. You know, former league MVP. You get him in there. Ingram walks after this year. Gus Edwards, I think, is either an unrestricted free agent or a restricted free agent. And I do like Gus Edwards, but I think J.K. Dobbins just has the three-down skill set to really flourish. It's really just going to be a matter of if Baltimore chooses to approach it a little bit differently next year. And I'm willing to take the risk on that because I believe in the talent and what I've seen so far in the player with J.K. Dobbins. So, and I think at the 110, like, I'm pretty happy with that. I think that's a good value, him slipping to me at the very end of the first round.
Yeah.
So, Tim, you're back up, 111.
Very good, and I'm going to finally get on the board here. I'm sorry, with my second receiver. I thought I was taking my first receiver, but the Jacksonville Jaguars have found themselves a weapon in Laviska Shenault.
I almost went Laviska.
I was wrong, by the way. Laviska Shenault, I was completely wrong on. I was way off.
I mean, this week he led the team in receptions. He's only had one game, I'm sorry, through 5 weeks, less than 10 fantasy points. And this is from a rookie without a training camp. First week of the season, he came out 13.7 points. They're using him to run. I think he's got 9-10 rushes on the season so far already.
He's lined up everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, he's a weapon, and they're using him as such. And I'm excited to see how they continue to use him. He's shown, again, like I said with CH, the stage is not too big. So what I've seen out of Laviska Shenault, I was not as high on him as certain people. I wasn't as low on him as Tyler.
I know.
But so I'll eat a little crow here myself. I should have been higher on Laviska because I'm taking him here at the back end of the first round, and I'm very happy to get him here to 11.
Yeah, and if you got him in the end of the second round, like he was in that tier break this year, it was pretty much like Shenault, Edwards, and Ayuk were like those last three guys at the end of the second round for receiver before you hit your Zach Moss and sometimes AJ Dillon. So if you got him in that tier at the end of the second round, like you are more than happy. I know I drafted him, I think, in three leagues around that spot, and because I believed in the talent of Shenault. I know he had the poor combine, but just being able to see how they're going to use him, and it's super exciting. It's going to be him and Chark going forward. I know Keelan Cole's flashed a little bit, but man, do I like Laviska Shenault. So Tyler, you're going to wrap us up here at the end of the first round at the 112.
Yeah, this is a tougher choice, but I think I've decided, and I'm going to go with T. Higgins. Everything I'm seeing from this guy, he's going to grow with Burrow. He already looks like he's he might become the one there real soon. He's already looking like that. He's pretty much usurped AJ Green, like you said, the husk of AJ Green.
AJ Green on the sidelines today, like, how are you going to do me like that, man? Just trade me.
Yeah. I mean,
it's exactly what it looked like he said. I was like, he said, how are you going to do me like that, man? Just trade me. And I was like, you're washed. I mean, no one wants
you. You're getting outplayed by a young 21-year-old who is like the pretty much clone of you when you came into the league. He's a very good receiver. He's going to be very good for a long time, and he's going to be the one. He's going to be with a very good quarterback in Joe Burrow. Everything we've seen from Burrow has been great. And like you said, I know today was a little rough, but it was downpour and things were, you know, Baltimore's defense was, they looked really ticked off. And Patrick Queen, by the way, is a stud.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
He's a beast.
He was out there to show the number one quarterback, be the number one rookie.
Is that his ex-teammate? Yeah. So I'm going to go with T. Higgins here at 12.
All right. So you're going to kick me off at the 201. Oh, I got some directions to go here. LaVisca's gone. I really wanted him, Tim.
I was so wrong on him. I thought Jags will use him like Cordarrelle Patterson. They're not. Like they're doing a dash of it. They're doing it the right way, and that's what I like to see. Jay Gruden has done a really good job with that offense, and I think that kind of goes. It's not talked about as much. So Jay Gruden, I mean, well done.
So at the 201, my gut tells me to go with a player from my favorite college. But my gut also tells me that backfield is an absolute freaking mess, and I don't think it's going to improve next year or whenever. He did. I'm going to go with Antonio Gibson at the 201.
Good pick.
And the reason is like, so this kid was a wide receiver in college. He did play a little bit of running back, but man, he looks the part playing running back for the Washington football team. He's getting all the opportunities as a rookie. I mean, I know they're working in JD McKissick, but if he can hold up physically, he looks the part. He's big enough, and obviously he has a good set of hands. That there's no reason why he couldn't be a three down back in the NFL. I like his vision. I like his speed. He can cut really quickly. For a kid that's just learning how to play the running back position, I'm really, really impressed. I think there's a lot of room for him to grow. I think, you know, in your redraft leagues, he's like a low end RB2 already. So if he really grows and they improve a little bit around him, obviously we know the quarterback situation is in flux there. But man, a lot to like with Antonio Gibson. So I'm really happy here to take him at the 201.
Yeah. I mean, he's everything I wish CJ ProSize would have been.
I'm just surprised they're not throwing it to him more, honestly, with his,
I think they'll get there. I mean, I honestly think it'll get to the point where he is the dude.
That dude. And that's what I'm hoping for, taking him in at 201. So Tim, we're at the 202. Where you going?
Oh, man. So, what do I do here at the 202? Because, you know, that kid from your favorite college is still out there.
A kid from my favorite college is still out there, too.
But Doug, I'll tell you, I'm also very terrified of that backfield. Very, very much so, actually.
There's a kid from your favorite football team still out there as well.
Yeah, this isn't where he goes.
Wait, never mind. I thought I saw Travis Fulgham on there.
Actually, I will go with a kid from one of my favorite colleges. We saw his counterpart for the Las Vegas Raiders really pop today. I still love Bryan Edwards. I think he has the tools to be the alpha for Vegas. Ruggs obviously has that speed. He has the big play ability. But Edwards is everything that Derek Carr dreams about in a receiver. And I think that's gonna bring itself to fruition once Edwards is able to stay on the field and stay healthy. But I really like Bryan Edwards, what I saw from him. He's out on injury right now, but that's my guy. I'm going to stick with him.
Nice.
I like it.
I'm going to be over Tyler. Here. I'm going to be singing O Canada because I'm going to be taking a Notre Dame's ex-receiver, Chase Claypool, a Mapletron. Dude scored four
touchdowns. Recency bias.
I don't think it is. It is not. He has been showing up every time he stepped foot on the field. Deontay Johnson, there was a comment by Mike Tomlin that I heard on one of the broadcast things, and they said the best thing about Chase Claypool is he's always available. He's always there. He's never missed a practice.
I don't want to talk about Deontay Johnson and his always getting hurt in game this year.
Yeah, they talk about how Chase Claypool is always healthy. He's always available for whatever they need to do. And that is going to be the deciding factor if he can take over Deontay Johnson's targets. And if he plays anything like he did today, that's going to happen. Ben Roethlisberger feels comfortable just throwing it up to Claypool and letting the big man go get it, because Claypool is a monster.
The Eagles kind of left him wide open a handful of times today, too.
The coverage wasn't exactly tight.
The Eagles let everybody open. But, I mean, if you're going to score four touchdowns in a game, that is not just the defense. That is also talent. So I'm going to go with Chase Claypool. I was probably going to take a mid-second, and we're sitting here around, what, 203?
Three.
So I'll reach for a guy that I actually think is a very good player, and I'll go get my guy so nobody else can have him.
So while you're reaching for the player that you want, my tactic works about downplaying the player from my favorite college, hoping that he would slide to me at my next pick. So I'll be more than happy at the 204 to take Cam Akers. I understand that Darrell Henderson is there. It could be a messy backfield, but I still believe in the talent, and Cam Akers had that big run today. You know, obviously missed a couple weeks because of the injury. And in those weeks that he missed, like last week, Malcolm Brown and Darrell Henderson didn't do anything. Now Henderson has a couple touchdowns today. But I think eventually this is going to be Cam Akers' backfield. I just think that he has the dynamic type of play that is going to help him win the role. And Darrell Henderson, I know he's that thicker Eddie Lacy Jr. type of back. He just doesn't have the oomph or the juice that he showed on tape that he had at Memphis. So I'm going to go with Cam Akers here. Happily at the 204.
Yeah, he is my other choice. But yeah, like I said, receiver over running back. It's just, God, I'm really depressed about running backs.
Yeah, no, I totally understand it. So, Tim, back up to you at the 205.
Well, at the 205, I'm going to stop the hatred. The young man from, what was it, Illinois State, yeah. I believe it was, the Jacksonville running back, James Robinson, 5'10", 220. After week one, I went back and watched the film on this kid, and I was like, he just plays the way a coach wants him to play. They give him the ball. Here's your handoff. He finds the hole, and he goes north and south. He's not playing around. He gets the ball, and he heads upfield. He gets positive yardage. I'd like to try to look into the stats and see what kind of plays for negative yardage James Robinson has. I bet that statistic, that metric would be pretty low because this kid doesn't play around once he gets the ball in his hands. Not a ton of work in the passing games. I think he's topped out at six targets as his big one. But, okay, I'm pulling it up. Yeah, six targets, six catches. This week, seven targets, five catches. Last week, 4 for 4. So the guy does catch the ball pretty well, apparently, too. Not a huge Jaguars fan, not watching all the Jags games. But, you know, the kid's
soft
been...
Soft J, Jaguars.
Jaguars. But he has been a pleasant surprise for the Jaguars, a very pleasant surprise for fantasy owners, and I'll be happy to take him here in the mid-second round. He is the currently number one rookie running back from this class.
Yeah, and honestly, I've watched a lot of him after everything, and the thing that's going to keep him in the league is his vision. He has plus vision. And with that offensive line they have in Jacksonville, like I saw on Twitter, James Robinson's vision makes Leonard Fournette look like he was running with a blindfold on the past 3 years. Like, that's how James Robinson's vision is, and it is good. So I think that's what will actually keep him in the league for a good amount of time.
Yeah, yes, I like that. And I think any team that can have a young running back on the cheap, along, especially with a young quarterback on the cheap, because I don't think the Jags are going to have the number one pick, but they still might take a quarterback in the first round. I think that's an attractive spot to be in. I actually think that builds you a little bit of job security. in today's NFL? Is that like, hey, if you're a rookie, you're making pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, undrafted.
Like, why would they bring in a big budget free agent or draft, a running back highly when if they have a guy that they like and they clearly like him enough. Holes. They clearly like him enough that they let Leonard Fournette go. They let him walk. So I think that's good for James Robinson's dynasty prospects, and that builds in a little bit of job security for him too. So we're going back to Tyler here at the 206.
First, I want to give Doug good news. Dalvin Cook is back. So you are good.
Yes, can Justin Jefferson get some more catches so I can win my week in redraft?
Also, speaking of coming back, my next pick is Jalen Reagor, because he will be back, and him dropping this far is almost criminal. I mean, Wentz is throwing it to Travis Fulgham and making him look like a superstar. He played very well.
And making Greg Ward look pretty decent too.
Yes, Greg Ward. If Jefferson comes back healthy, Tim is shaking his head, and Jalen Hurts can throw him the ball. And Jalen Hurts can throw him the ball when he comes in and takes over for Wentz. I think Reagor can blow up.
You're just trolling me.
I mean, okay, I'm going to make a joke, but I'm kind of serious. Jalen Hurts' one throw was the best throw of the Eagles today.
It was a decent throw.
And that's just how bad Wentz is playing. I like Wentz still. I think he's got a good future in the NFL. I just think he's so in his head about things that, and I think, honestly, probably Hurts getting drafted did not help his mentality. It probably did not help his confidence. So I think actually benching Wentz and just letting him breathe, letting him like, okay, dude, just watch the games. Let the game slow down a little bit for you. Let things come back, because he's overthinking. He's thinking too quick. His feet are going faster than his arm and mind. He just needs to slow down. So I do like Jalen Hurts, but I do like Jalen Reagor as well. So the Jalens can connect.
Ooh, Team Jalen. Jalen squared over there.
And I not Tim, you're shaking your head. Are you not a fan of Reagor? I mean, I don't think you are, because you see how awesome Justin Jefferson is for Minnesota. So
I wasn't super high on Reagor to begin with. I was very high on Justin Jefferson throughout the entire process. The NFL draft happened. We have the shot at Justin Jefferson. They decided to take Reagor. Yeah, still really kind of reeling from the fact that the Dallas jumped in front of us to take CeeDee Lamb.
I mean, you did jump in front of him to take Dallas Goedert, so.
Yeah, well, what's he doing? So, anyway. Reagor, and there was plenty of those comps as soon as the Eagles took him. Oh, he's DeSean Jackson. And so far, he kind of is. Small, fast, big play guy.
Always hurt.
That can be fun. Injured. But he's not on the field. So yeah. I was worried that would happen, and so far it has.
Poor Eagles.
All right, I'm back up at the 207, and I'm a little conflicted. There's a couple players that I really like here. I think I'm gonna give a case, because I think probably Tim is gonna take the other player, or at least I think that's what he's gonna do. So I'm gonna take Henry Ruggs here. And the reason I'm taking Ruggs over Brandon Ayuk is because I think there's a clearer path to targets with Henry Ruggs. I think his ability to have the big play, and I think Ayuk has a little bit of that too. We saw that really nice touchdown last week with the hurdling and the jumping, and they can use him all over the place. But I am starting to get really concerned with the 49ers quarterback play. Jimmy Garoppolo was benched this week. CJ Beathard came in. Nick Mullins wasn't even active. Like, it is a freaking mess for the San Francisco 49ers. Also, they have Debo Samuel. They have George Kittle. They like to target the running back. So I don't know what Brandon Ayuk's ceiling is from a target percentage-wise goes, but I think Henry Ruggs, because he doesn't have a lot of competition, it's him, Edwards, and Hunter Renfrow pretty much, and they're not using the running backs in the passing game an awful lot. So I'm going to go with Henry Ruggs, the dynamic playmaker. I typically don't lean players that are the Jalen Reagors, right? He's fast. He's got speed. I typically don't lean those players, but I think Ruggs over Ayuk, those are the kind of decisions that I'm making, is that like, hey, the quarterback play, at least I know Derek Carr is consistent. It's not going to be a different quarterback every week.
God, how did that taste saying it?
Yeah, I know. And there's also a clearer path to targets, in my opinion, for Henry Ruggs than there is with Brandon Ayuk. So I'm going to go Henry Ruggs here at the 207.
Yeah, you took my hopeful pick that would have dropped.
Okay. So, Tim, what are you taking at 208?
Well, Doug, just like Jalen Reagor and just like Henry Ruggs, you have yourself a nice flathead screwdriver. It's a one-tool thing. But I'll take that Swiss Army knife because I also have that flathead screwdriver. I have a Phillips head on there. I have a flint I can start a fire with and just burn the quarterback room to the ground because that's what San Francisco needs to do, apparently. But Brandon Ayuk is a Swiss Army knife type player. Before Debo came back, they were using Brandon a lot like they were using Debo last year in this offense. You know, they get him on the end of rounds. They hand it directly off to him. They were throwing him the ball. You know, week three against the Giants, you saw him hit over 20 fantasy points. That was fantastic. He's got the ability to do it. I do completely agree with Doug there, with George Kittle, with Debo still there, and the running backs. That offensive scheme is built around being able to check down quickly to the running backs. And the way the quarterbacks are playing, I think the coaching staff's probably going to push for a little bit more of that. Hey, let's find that check down. Let's find that safe throw. But, yeah, from what I've seen out of Brandon Ayuk thus far this season, I'll gladly take it. He only got 8.15 fantasy points this week, but he did tie for the team lead in reception. So he's still getting that target volume.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I think it was definitely a toss-up between those two. So mm-hmm. I'm interested to see where Tyler goes here at the 209.
I'm going to end the draft with Michael Pittman Jr. What I saw with him in the offense before.
Hey, you got another pick. You got another pick. You have the last pick.
209 and then 212, dude.
Oh, well, that's good to know because I'm going to take Michael Pittman anyways.
Well, Michael Pittman it
is. I'm going to take Michael Pittman anyways. And I liked what I saw when he was healthy. He's a big man. He's a contested catch.
He's a big man.
He's a contested catch guy. And he's a possession guy. And, I mean, the way Phillip Rivers is throwing the ball, if he can catch passes from Phillip Rivers, I mean, he's a good receiver. Let's be honest. And yeah, that's just the way Phillip Rivers has been playing. Oh, his deep ball that I saw today, Phillip Rivers.
It's still hard to watch.
It's still floating. It has not come down yet. So yeah, I like Michael Pittman. Hopefully they can get somebody with an arm in there to get him those more deeper shots. But
Jacob Eason, anyone?
Yeah, let's go. But yeah,
might as well.
And Michael Pittman, let's not forget the draft stock. And hopefully he doesn't float away like Paris Campbell was and can revive his dynasty stock again because he's going in the early second round. So I think getting him here is a good value.
Mm. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I was drafting Pittman in the beginning or the middle of round two because I liked Pittman a lot during the process. I think he's going to be a really good pro. Had the weird compartmental calf injury, but he's going to be back sometime this season. And yeah, they could use him because, Anywho. All right, so I'm going to make my last pick of the draft. Again, I'm a little conflicted here between two players. So I'm going to go with Denzel Mims, a player we've seen absolutely nothing.
I thought for sure, Doug, you would take your guy at running back. And it would leave me Mims, but fantastic pick. Because I was like, man, getting Mims at the end of the second.
So I'm going to take Denzel Mims. You know, he missed most of the abbreviated training camp. The Jets have used everyone at receiver. Guys like Lawrence Cager and Jeff Smith.
Jeff Smith. Chris, what a name.
Chris Hogan. Like, it is just
Braxton
brutal.
Berrios.
Braxton. Just imagine if Denzel Mims was healthy. He could be making an impact for the Jets in year one. Now, the biggest thing with Mims is everyone liked him during the process. He blew up the combine. This kid is going to have a ton of opportunity when he gets right and he gets back into the lineup and when Adam Gase gets the hell out of town because he's absolute trash.
Yeah, Dan Quinn got fired. Gase has to be soon. Like, has to be soon.
Has to be. It feels like it's right there.
Yep.
So I like Denzel Mims a lot. You know, with Darnold, he can be a target monster. I know they signed Perryman. He's still Breshad Perryman. Uh-huh. So I think with Crowder, you got Mims. They can start to maybe build some stuff there. They get rid of Le'Veon Bell at the end of the season. Like, I like his dynasty prospects being that big outside receiver that can make plays downfield, especially with a guy like Darnold because he's needed that. There is not that option on that team whatsoever. It's Jamison Crowder, and even Chris Hernan has disappeared this year. Again. There's just nothing else on that roster to really utilize Sam Darnold's skills. And I think Denzel Mims could be that guy. So at the end of the second round, looking towards the future, like I'll take the discount on the unseen because I like Denzel Mims as a player. So for me, it's Mims at 210. Now we got Tim at 211 for his last pick.
So Mims of the redraft. Mims is my biggest buy right now because he has like nobody's heard about him or heard of him. And you hear the news
and the
reports
Jets
like
look so bad.
And you sit there and you hear the news like, oh, Mims is still not ready. Like, okay, is that the Jets saying it or is that Gase just being like, I don't want him on the field? And my issue with Darnold is I don't think he throws deep enough. And that's why he overthrows people because he's got such a big arm that if you don't let that thing go sometimes, I mean, if you don't let the cannon loose, he's going to start overthrowing people. You know, that arm's going to get real needy for that deep ball. I mean, I used to throw football in the backyard and there's so many times where I'm like, I just want to chuck this thing over the mountains. So, I mean, let the man throw deep sometimes. And Darnold has arm to do it. Mims has the speed for it. So. Yeah, I can't wait for him to come back.
And he can high point the ball. He can make plays in the air. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
He's set up perfectly for that.
Oh, Doug, what'd you do to me here? I thought for sure I had Mims.
Oh. Sorry.
So I'm going to pivot, and I'm going to take Doug's guy. I'm going to take Josh Kelly.
Yeah.
Especially now with the injury there at the running back position, we'll get to see Josh Kelly really, really get used and see what he can really, really do. But from what I've seen the first 4 weeks of the season is the kid is a no-nonsense runner. He is the best between the tackles runner the Los Angeles Chargers have. I really do like his game. He's not going to run away from every defensive player in the league, but he's going to run past most of the defensive linemen and linebackers. And then if he just gets the good angle, he can find that daylight. But yeah, the kid's got good vision, runs with good balance and good power. I like what I've seen out of Josh Kelly, at least to start his career. So at the end of the second, I'll take my shot with the Chargers running back.
Yeah, I like that a lot. I would just, I'm a little concerned with the fumbling. That would be my only concern with Josh Kelly. Hopefully he hangs onto the ball. But yeah, I mean, I took him at the end of the third, early fourth in the UDPL, and I was really happy with that. So he's already paying dividends for me. So yeah. I love Josh Kelly. So Tyler, why don't you wrap us up here at the 2.12?
This is tough. I mean, I honestly am thinking about Jalen Hurts because I do think he's going to come in sometime. Tim, I know you Eagles fans are thinking, no, there's no way it can be. I don't know about that. I'm gonna go with a shock pick. I'm gonna go Gabriel Davis.
I had him written down as a possibility
to be mentioned. Yep,
Gabriel Davis, who I'm in a Campus to Canton League. I used to be, and I had Gabe Davis there, and I kept noticing this dude was in my starting lineup all the time at UCF, putting up points. Dude was dominating, and then he got hurt. And his draft stock kind of fell. But in the fourth round, I'm sitting like, wow, he's drafted in the fourth round. I should keep my eyes on this guy. I remember him on my campus at Canton League. And man, when John Brown's hurt, the dude ends up in the end zone. He ends up being a huge player for the Bills. I think he fits Josh Allen quite well. And I've liked what I've seen. I mean, John Brown has not been healthy this year. And every time he has been healthy, Gabe Davis has stepped up in a big way. I think next year he's going to be next to Stephon Diggs in two wide receiver sets. And yeah, the value is very low right now. So actually, if you are looking to buy him, go do it now. And yeah, I love what I've been seeing out of the kid. And glad I picked him up in the fifth round in leagues that I had him or free agencies because I have him in a heaping amount of leagues.
Yeah, and that's always a good feeling when you have a ton of a guy and then all of a sudden he's starting to pay dividends. It's always, always good. So that is going to wrap up our redraft 2020 Dynasty Rookie Draft. Really exciting to see how things have changed.
Kind of crazy.
Know, just in a matter of the...
Doug, you got any to-be-mentioned guys? Anybody that... Gabe Davis was written down for me. He was one of mine.
I did have Gabe Davis written down. I actually... I had Harrison Bryant written down. Oh, I think I've he went undrafted in the UDPL, which is all Dynasty Podcast Leaguer. And to me, like, I got him after the draft as a free agent.
I'm ashamed.
And I was stoked. And now, like, he's looked really, really good. Yep. So I think David Njoku is gone after this year. They're, you know, he's going to be gone. Harrison Bryant and Austin Hooper are going to be the two guys there. And Harrison Bryant eventually is going to be the number one there.
He looks better than Hooper already. Like,
yeah, I think he does. He definitely has,
oomph.
You know, Hooper is kind of like the New Balance, where Harrison Bryant is more like the Nike.
Mm-hmm. The Nike Shocks. You know how cool those were, but they're like 10,000 pounds.
Those were super cool. The honorable mention, I've got Keyshawn Vaughn still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, Keyshawn Vaughn, there's been the injury to McCoy. Fournette was active but not really playing. We saw Vaughn score a touchdown a couple weeks ago.
Big pop on Thursday.
Yeah, real interesting. I think if he's a guy that you can try to buy low. Someone offered me a buy low in one of our Pigs leagues, and I was like, no, that's way too low. Like, I'm not going to sell Keyshawn Vaughn for that. But there's obviously people out there with the same mindset of like, hey, like, buy Keyshawn Vaughn low. So he was an honorable mention for me. You know, you've got guys like Zach Moss. Van Jefferson, to me, is one that I think.
I had, after Tyler took mine, Harrison Bryant, Keyshawn Vaughn, Zach Moss, Van Jefferson. You nailed him, Doug.
You're forgetting somebody. Anthony McFarland has looked very well in spots when he's been able to hit the field. He looks explosive. He is like.
Well, Connor may not be there next year.
It kind of helps when Connor and Benny Snow on the field, and then you get this explosive guy out there, and you're like, oh my God, this guy's like the fastest guy in the world.
Yeah, it is very noticeable. Looks like. You see Snell and Connor kind of slogging along, and then McFarland, you're like, oh.
Yeah,
oh,
look like Flash.
Yeah, you can definitely. And Van Jefferson, to me, is a big one. You know, the Rams did re-sign Robert Woods to a long-term deal. Nothing yet on Cooper Kupp, though. So if Cooper Kupp is gone, I think Van Jefferson would fit that role perfectly. Did they sign Kupp?
I swear he signed. I could be off because I don't know.
Maybe I'd have to. I know they've been re-signing everyone with their infinite pool of monies.
I'm not going to sleep on Jordan Love still, because if you're going to take him in the first round, you've got to see what he's got within the next 2 years. I mean, I think Rodgers could stay in Green Bay after this year, but after the next year, I think is when they're going to give Love a shot, because if you're going to use the first round pick on a quarterback, you've got to figure out what you got in them. You can't waste that pick. A.J. Dillon is the same thing. You can't sit there and draft a guy. And I know Aaron Jones has been playing lights out. Another guy I was wrong on, and I'll openly admit, ooh, he looks
so good.
He's so good.
Kupp, 3-year extension before the season starts.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So,
but yeah.
So Jefferson.
Yeah. I mean, they could go back to the 3-receiver set in L.A. Mm-hmm. Higby's been hot and cold. Everett, they seem to like maybe 3 games a year. So,
go Everett.
And there's so many other. Cole Kmet, I think, at once Jimmy Graham leaves, will take that tight end spot. And I think he is going to be a huge riser in the next couple of years, because he's got everything a tight end, everything you need in a tight end. I almost misworded that. I should not misword
especially
something
the tightness.
That. But yeah, there's lots of good rookies still that you can go buy on the cheap. And that's kind of what we're kind of hitting at here is
like, KJ Hamler.
Yeah, KJ Hamler. Yeah. And
Quintez Cephas, people.
Write that name down. Yeah.
Quintez Cephas.
Marvin Jones looks.
And Jalen Hurts. Tim is going to be hearing a lot of that name probably by week 7.
Oh, Jesus. Here we go.
Everything I'm hearing is he's not ready. If it happens, it happens.
Is Wentz ready though?
Yeah, Wentz has done it before. Wentz is all mechanical. It's all mechanical. His base is way too wide. He's throwing with nothing but arm and shoulder.
Well, sometimes you got to put the
line in front of him.
Sometimes you got to put the damn car in the garage and fix it up.
You don't have time to put the car in the garage because you don't have any other car to drive.
So you're just going to ride this car until it blows up.
No. You're going to, every chance you get, you're going to pull over to the gas station. You're going to tanker a little bit. You got to go out, run a couple laps, bring it into the pits, you know, make some adjustments. But yeah, he's ready to, he's sitting there with his base way too wide, ready to just take off at any second because he doesn't trust his line.
Also,
he's in his own head.
Also, I did see him make a lot better throws this week than I have the previous weeks. He looks like he's getting things a little tuned.
You talked about the Fulham guy Fulham 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
Fulham. He dropped one into him down the left sideline. Dropped it in from 40 yards away. The pass directly in front of that, the play before that, you had Miles Sanders coming out of the backfield on a Texas route, a little corner route there. His base is way too wide. He just whips it with his arm and shoulder, throws it right into the dirt. He has the ability to make the throws when he just goes, well, I have to make this throw, so I'm not going to, you know, get in my own head about it. And he just stepped back and let one go. And 40 yards later, it dropped right here into the guy's hand.
You know what it reminds me of? Cam Newton, when he had mechanic issues, when Cam Newton was using too much of his back and his arm. And it reminds me of that.
His lower body wasn't moving.
Yep. And it reminds me a lot of when Cam Newton had his struggles. So
he's not stepping into anything. So yep. It's all mechanical.
Okay. Cool. Well, the good news is I'm hoping to get 3 more points out of Justin Jefferson to win my redraft league. So yeah, come on, Justin Jefferson. Anywho, all right, that's gonna wrap us up this week for Dynasty Happy Hour. Great episode, boys. Thanks again to Tim, to Tyler. Make sure you check out all the cool stuff. The shop. You said what was it?
Viridian Global. Dot
Prestige
com.
Worldwide. .com.
Yeah, they got tons of shirts. They got
Boats and Hose.
They got Clyde Edwards-Helaire shirts. They got tons of fun shirts that you can go out and get. Plus Dynasty Happy Hour, Dynasty Warzone. You can get Devi Happy Hour. You can get the DHH Contractor. Lots of other podcasts are on that site. Go out and check that site out.
Absolutely. So thanks again, boys. We'll see you guys, personally, the three of us, in 2 weeks. But best of luck to you for the rest of week 5, and we'll see you soon on Dynasty Happy Hour.